Hey there. How are you today? My name's Dana Demara. You have landed on Soul Medicine. I want to just offer up a few administrative items before we begin our deep dive into this podcast. And first of all, I want to say thank you for being here. I'm so grateful. So first, for you yogis out there, always thank you for joining me. Because you are a loyal listener and you're interested in yoga, meditation, breath work, and sound healing, I'm offering you a gift just for listening. I've been at this practice of yoga for over 2 decades now, and in 2020, I created my own portal of full healing modalities. I would love for you to try it out for 2 weeks on me. Yes, on me. Just go to danademarayoga.com. Put in your email address and you receive instant access to live virtual classes and a library of over 300 recorded classes of days gone by. This is my gift for you. Thank you. Those of you interested in astrology, if you go to myastrocast.com, you'll get a mini speed course on astrology. This little course will give you a general overview of astrology. However, if you thirst for more, every week I host a podcast on YouTube all about the weekly astrological outlook. It's free, and if you subscribe on YouTube, the update will come right to you. Just look for me on YouTube. You can't miss it. One more thing I think you may want to know. I do update my website often. I do my best, and I send out newsletters weekly. Sometimes more than once a week. So if that's your jam, go to my website and subscribe to my newsletters. Just go to danademara.com, put in your email address in the little pop-up there, and you'll get emails from me. Now here's the deal about emails. You're going to get emails. If something doesn't resonate, just delete it. But don't unsubscribe. Okay? I do want to say this about my website, though. It still is very static info, right? So if you are an Instagram person and you want daily musings, free meditations, early morning practices, find me on Instagram at Dana Demara Evolution. It's also my Facebook handle. However, I don't really post very much there. It's odd to me that we need so many channels. So I would say find one that works for you, and I'll meet you there. Of course, for those of you who live here in Encinitas, California, I do host weekly classes in person, sound healing and breathwork sessions right here in SoCal. So I would say just check my website at danademarayoga.com and you'll be able to find all the info you need. Nice little calendar there. Sometimes we practice on the bluff. Sometimes we're practicing at different locations in and around Encinitas and La Costa, but I would love to see you somewhere on this path. Welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. You're invited to learn and listen with me. Take a moment to ground in, breathe, and give yourself a moment of stillness. I want to say thank you to Beautiful Chorus for this beautiful intro. It's called The Opening. Thank you, ladies. Thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.
All right. Thank you so much for being here. I'm really, really excited to introduce to you a colleague. I'd like to call this man my friend. I feel like we would be hardcore friends if we lived a little bit closer to one another. Probably I would be glued to his hip anyways, trying to just gleam all of the education and passion that this man has for sound healing. Beautiful human. I'll let you know how I know him. His name's Guy Douglas. For those of you in the San Francisco area, I am absolutely sure you know him. Back in the day when I lived in the Bay, him and Simona would host these amazing sound healings in Grace Cathedral, and I was blown away just watching him and his team work. I'm super blessed to have him on my podcast today, and I'm just going to read this so I don't get it wrong. This is Guy Douglas, the co-curator of the Sound Healing Symphony, the Breathwork Sound Bath, and the Sound Bath app. Guy, I'm super, super excited to have you here today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
As always, for my listeners, we started to have a little discussion before the podcast just to kind of warm up and really drop into this. And I feel like Guy and I have a lot to talk about. We also have a lot in common. I kind of want you to hear from this man, though. I'm going to try to talk the least amount possible. Guy, why don't you tell me and everyone else listening how you got started with sound healing and really how long you've been on this journey?
Thanks. I started this about, gosh, it's probably going on almost, I'm scared to even say it, but probably like 16 or 17 years now. I was in my early 30s, I was kind of looking for, I was trying to find I was kind of soul searching, looking for different things that I could do that would hopefully help the world in some way. And I was kind of exploring different things like, therapy, being a therapist, different things like this. And I ended up going to this art gallery in New York City at this Full Moon Gathering, and I went to Alex Gray, who's in famous, he's been around for a while. He had this like kind of this art sort of collective. I don't want to call it a church, but it kind of felt like that a little bit. But it was just this really cool space in New York, and I went down there, and he had a gentleman there that had like a copper pyramid that he had, and inside of it were like gongs and little Tibetan bowls and stuff, and I've never experienced them. So I laid down and he put these bowls on my chest, and the second I heard them, I was like, it's something just locked in. I said, oh my God, like there's just a like this is the sound of peace. I mean, this is legitimately the sound of, if there was something that like you could hear peace, it's like these Tibetan bowls seem like that's what it was. And so I was really activated, and I was like, wow, oh my gosh, I got to get some of these. So I ended up communicating with this guy, and I bought some bowls from him, and I ended up buying like a little small gong, and like it was like, just my little setup. And I was living with some friends who had like these high stress jobs and whatnot, so they'd come home and I would tell them to lay down, and I would put the bowls around them and play. And the response I got from them were amazing. It was just people were like really getting off on it, and for me, I got off on it, but I thought it was just me. And then I started sharing it, and I was like, wow, people really, really are experiencing something with this. And then I ended up kind of saving some money up, and I decided I wanted to buy one of these big gongs. And this was, looking at like a $3,000 investment at the time, and I was not making that kind of money. So I managed to save up enough money to do that, and the gong shows up at the house, and it was so funny that day it showed up. We had this TV in this area, and the TV broke that same day, so we moved the TV out and put the gong where the TV was, which is hilarious. And when I got that, I was with a friend, and I said, let's go out to this music festival next weekend. There's a festival up in New York, and I said, let's go up there and like gong people. And my buddy thought I was crazy. He's like, man, this, you're nuts. But I had this gravity chair, and I would lean people back in the chair, and I'd put the gong right behind their head, and I had a little singing bowl and a little eye mask. And I go to this festival, and the first day I'm at the festival, I've got this thing set up, and people are walking by looking at it, and they're kind of like, yeah, I'm not going to do that. Most people didn't sit in it. I got about five or six people the first day to sit in it. the second day I had people coming up to me being like, hey, I heard about this thing. I heard about this. And then the third day I had lines of people lined up wanting to get in it. And I didn't even know it was healing. I just thought it was this epic sound. It was just, the gong was just like the sound of creation, the sound of God, whatever it was. It was just amazing. And then I'm at this festival and I go to this, I end up wrapping up that festival. And a week later, I go to another festival. And when I show up, I start pulling the gongs out of my car. And I hear people start saying, hey, the gong guy's here, the gong guy, right? And it was like, that's kind of how that came up. And then I ended up setting up the chair and I do the whole thing again. And this older gentleman comes over with his friend and he hands me like some money and he goes, hey, leave my friend in your chair for a while. And I was like, yeah, no problem. So I start playing the gongs for this guy. And about halfway through, this guy starts bawling his eyes out and he's like in his late 50s and stuff. And I didn't even know. I was like, whoa. And I was almost stopped playing. And his friend was like, keep going, keep going. So I was like, I kept going. And then before you know it, he comes up out of the experience and I've got like 15 people waiting to sit in the chair also. And then I'm experiencing, I'm witnessing this happening also. So they're all watching it. And he comes up out of the experience and I say to him, I'm like, hey, you know, what happened? And he looks at me with tears pouring down his face. And he says to me, I can only hope that heaven is as beautiful as that just was, is what he says to me. And I'm like, oh my God. And I start crying. I get chills every time I talk about it. It's like, I start crying. Everybody that's waiting to get gonged, they're all crying too. We're having this like moment. And I looked at my buddy at that moment and I just looked at him and I'm like, we have to gong everybody. We have to just gong everybody. So I went on this mission to like literally go out and gong as many people as I could. And I traveled the country and I fell in love with this girl. And we traveled around and shared this this medicine with everyone. And my mission was just to like get out there and see if I could like just what would happen with this like mystical, magical sound experience. And it just, as it kept unfolding, people kept telling me, you got to go to California, man. People in California would eat this up. So I ended up making my way to California and just started doing events. And before you know it, it's like, it just kept happening. And when I was in LA, I landed there in 2010 and there was like nobody doing this. So I was really fortunate enough to kind of go out to LA with this really tripped out dream of gonging people and different than like wanting to be an actor. So my chances were better being a gonger, you know? So I go out there and I end up becoming this thing where, and then over time, it just kept on folding where I realized just how healing it was. And I don't know, it's just, to me, it's just such a mystery. The sounds are there's something that connects you to spirit. I think that's the thing about this music and these sounds, it really taps you into spirit and whatever that might be, for anyone, it's always like everyone has their own experience with it. So it's just a matter of, but what I loved about it was that every, doesn't matter where you're from, where you can, like, it could be anybody on the planet. Everyone resonates with this music. It's like the universal music of all music. It's like the birth of all music comes from these tonal harmonics. And it's like, if you were to take music and stretch it out, that's kind of what the sound bath is. So you're basically taking all these tones and frequencies and stretching it into like a drone-like experience, which can be really meditative when you don't have tempos and beats happening. It allows people to kind of drop in to that meditative state. And when you start playing these instruments, like the gongs and the bowls and things like this, the sounds are designed to cancel the mind chatter and allow you to drop into that zero point of a meditation. And it's that zero point of a meditation is where we experience that no thought. And in that place of no thought is where our nervous systems can relax and reset. And that is really the goal and the mission that I've been on, is just to try to, especially after these last like 4 years or whatever, it seems more important now than ever, considering the climate of the world and how we're all kind of shifting and moving into this new paradigm. And it's been really hard for so many of us. So it's like, it seems like now is the most important time to share this stuff, because it is healing and it does connect us to ourselves. And I used to call the sound bath kind of the audio soundtrack to our own inner truth. You know, it's like the soundtrack of our lives is playing out and hearing those sounds. It sort of brings us into that connection of ourself and connection with others and things like this. It's such a mystery. I mean, after sharing it as long as I have, hearing people's responses about it have been amazing, you know? So many different ways they connect to it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, so many questions were coming up for me and I was trying to just stay. I kept bringing my mind right back to you talking, but I would have these trailing questions, you know? So I'm just going to go with like the first one, the first question. Sure. First of all, I think I remember, did you ever do Wanderlust as the gong? Okay. I totally remember you at you were in Squaw, right? I don't think we introduced ourselves. I don't think like I knew you then, but I remember the gong guy at Wanderlust for sure. Yeah. And it was something that nobody was doing at the time. Okay, I'm gonna go back to my first question. So my first question is, so it sounds like you dropped into this because it was healing for you and you just didn't really understand it. But it was almost like there was a calling that was pulling you toward it. Is that what I heard?
Absolutely.
And so now you've created all these things around it. You've created a life around it. I would say my first question is, how did you move from the big gongs or even the small little gongs in your apartment to now incorporating, crystal bowls and alchemy bowls and the harp and the like, how did that all come about?
Yeah, like with the symphony, you mean? When I created the
Yeah.
symphony?
Yeah.
Yeah, we did that sound healing symphony at Grace Cathedral for about 4 or 5 years. And it was funny. I've been in Los Angeles for a while, and I'd been working with different people who were kind of into this sort of work, and it was hard. I met a lot of people who were incredibly talented, but when it came to being a little egoic or a little narcissistic, I just found I was like, I can't really work with that kind of energy with people that are kind of on that role. So in LA, it's loaded with that kind of energy sometimes where you meet those kind of people. So it was funny. I eventually, or just to go back a little bit, like when what happened was with I was doing soundbaths in LA, and then Simona had reached out to me and Simona had done work before doing this gong flow yoga thing for a while, and we were doing it in Los Angeles, and then eventually we kind of just it wasn't really gelling that much, so we kind of took a break. And she called me up a couple years later, and she's like, "Hey, I'd love to bring you, you. I'd love for you to bring the sound bath up to San Francisco." And I said, "Yeah, I'd love to." So we did our first event. We got 60 people to come, and it was great. And then she says to me the next one, she's like, "Hey, I'm going to get 100 people to come to this next one, and we're going to do this church." And I said, "Great, let's do it." And then next thing you know, she calls me up, and she's like, "Tickets just went up on sale," and she's like, "They just sold out." And she's like, "I'm putting up another event," and then that one sold out in like 20 minutes. It was like, wow, it's like. And next thing you know, we're like doing a third event. So we go up there, and it just kept happening. We're doing like groups of 100, and then it was like groups of 250. And then all of a sudden it's like we're doing Grace Cathedral. And we started off doing Grace Cathedral, doing a benefit concert for suicide prevention. So that was something we did. And I just kind of curated some people together. And then what happened was I decided I was going to create this sound healing. We had this idea of a sound healing symphony where I would get a bunch of musicians together and we curate this beautiful ensemble. And when I did that, it was so funny. I go on, it's like I had kind of like moved through so much energy with bringing like kind of the narcissistic people in my life and kind of like getting them kind of pushing that energy out. And I just put up this post on Facebook. I'm like, I'm looking for a harp player. I'm looking for a didgeridoo player. I'm looking for this. And the first people that reached out to me were all the most humble, most beautiful, selfless people, no ego. And they all showed up. And we did this thing called the Sound Healing Symphony, and it just ended up where, it just kind of came together where, almost as if spirit, whatever it is, wanted it to happen, because I wasn't even like trying hard to try to assemble the crew. It's just they all kind of showed up, and then it's like the whole thing started to unfold naturally, and it's like we had this kind of momentum moving that was moving through this idea of being selfless about what we were doing and wanting to serve community. And the fact we all kind of came together under that umbrella, it allowed for the energy to push forward where we're selling out groups of 1,400 people. And I don't know how we did it. I just think that there's something about being of service and not being in our ego when we're like, I always had this, somebody said this to me a long time ago, and it always stuck with me. It was like, if you're making it about yourself, the healing really won't transfer over. So I always had this feeling of like, I have to make it so selfless. I have to actually really show up to be just of service and like really not make it about me at all. And and ever since I've been doing that, it's when I first got started with this work, I think it's the reason why I've had the success I've had with it, because there's like an undercurrent of energy that's happening when you are sharing something that's powerful. And if you don't let it go to your head and you let it sort of kind of naturally flow, the undercurrent of that, I just kept tapping into it more and more. It's just like more and more people kept showing up. And it's honestly a mystery. I don't know how I did it, but I think when I really think, it's like that might be something to do with it. And of course, just like having the right people set up to make it happen. So it's amazing. I don't know how, I mean, yeah, it was as mind blowing for me as for everyone else, you know, doing it.
I remember that. I remember I would text Simona and I would say, "Hey, tell me when you're going to put the tickets up."
Oh, really?
I need to get in there. And then she ended up saying, she was always so kind to me. She would end up saying, "Just come and come help. Like, just come and help at the door, come and help seat people." And, you know, I would go to as many of those as I could. And I brought my daughters with me. And even now, my youngest daughter, who's now 18, she doesn't come very often, you know, just because she's 18.
Of course.
But when she does come, she admits that, you know, it helps her sleep and it helps relieve the anxiety. And I agree with you that whole, I think that we've always lived with this undercurrent of anxiety, like we all have. But I feel like since social media became a thing, and also since 2020, I think that anxiety is at an all-time high. And I see it in the yoga room. I see it with my clients. I see it at sound healings. The same thing. People just don't know what to do with this, all this energy and all this movement of energy. Things move so fast. And I think we talked about this on the phone a couple of weeks ago. You know, we weren't supposed to receive all the information that we're receiving right now. Our bodies just aren't made for that. They're just not. And I know for me, I'm going to touch on two things. I want to touch on this, and I want to touch on your comment about service. I know for me, when I go out to do retreats, like in Italy, when I went last year, when I go somewhere like Tulum, where, you know, Wi-Fi is shit, I'm so happy because I'm just in the moment and I'm just not even looking at my phone and not even concerned about it. And I can feel my whole body relax. But that's not life here, especially in Southern California. So I find deep, deep value with these instruments. The other thing I want to talk about is this idea of service. And I think you're spot on. You know, in the Yoga Sutras, Swami Satchananda said that all we really need in our life is a place to rest and sleep and a gift to give to the world. And when we remember that, when we remember that we're here to serve, we're here to serve. And then someone like Marianne Williamson, who I adore, I remember listening to something she talked about in her interpretation of the Course in Miracles. And she said, you know, we're just the lamp. We're just the lamp with the current running through it, with the light running through it. Our responsibility is to turn that switch on. We have to turn the switch on and be that open channel. And I agree with you. I agree with you. When we come from a place of lack, I know you mentioned ego, and I agree with you 100%. And I also think that that's so challenging to not come from a place of ego because of social media. I feel like it has just created this turbulent, circular, infinite loop of trying to get your voice out there. And it's just not even a real thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think there is ego involved, but I also think that there is a sense of lack. So when we're coming from a place of lack, either we're not enough or we need to do this to make a living or to do this or to do that, it becomes slightly challenging. And I agree with you 100%. Every time I come from a place of service, every time I switch my mentality to like, okay, wait a minute, Dana, you are getting sucked in, like your foot's getting sucked in, stop, come back. Why are you really doing this? You are being of service. You are, you know, it just is. It's so easy and everything becomes easier too. So I want to really point that out. And I really want our listeners to hear that because we just can't forget that part above everything else, no matter what you do, if it's a sound healing or a breathwork session or yoga or whatever you're offering to the world, you have got to remember that we need to come from a place of service.
Yeah.
You
know? That's important. Yeah.
I love that we had this little conversation. Well, okay, wait, one thing I want to say. So I bought my first gong. Well, first of all, I bought a bowl for myself during the pandemic because everything I was trying wasn't working to calm anxiety. My jaw was clenched. I wasn't sleeping. It was terrible. And I literally heard this voice in my head that said, go buy a bowl where, 2020, everything's closed. I found one place in Encinitas and I bought my first bowl and I just started playing. I did a couple tutorials online. I took this like mini little training and then I bought another set of bowls and then I bought the chimes and then I bought, it was just like this new little addiction that I had and took little trainings along the way to learn how to do it. And I have a musical background. I played instruments all the way up until I think I was 16 or 17 when it became uncool, right? And then I bought the gong. Okay. Now my big gong isn't as big as your big gong, but my big gong was big for me. Right. And I wheeled it into the house and I set it all up and I got it. I think back, it's the moon gong and I got it the day that Uranus went into retrograde of 2022. Okay. In August, I played the gong. I warmed it up. I played the gong. 2 days later, there had been like a pipe issue in my underneath my bathroom in the kitchen, and it exploded.
Oh my gosh!
They ripped out. They had to rip out all the floors, right? And we found out there was like mold and mildew and all of that in the house. Now, had I not got, and I'm a firm believer that it was the gong.
Wow!
I know it was the gong. I know that by playing that gong, the energy just moved. And I also believe with my heart that spirit was like, you need to get this stuff fixed before you get sick. Like, what's your take on that? Would you?
Yeah, I mean, it's like there's sympathetic resonance for sure in things. And it could be, it could be a wild coincidence, but it could be also that too. It could be, it could be like, especially, the gong is powerful. I mean, it is the most powerful instrument made, I think, is the gong. There's nothing that makes that sound. And it really is the sound of creation. And like, what are we all doing here on the planet? What's the function of being a human being? It's like to create. That's what we're supposed to do. So to like bathe ourselves in that creational sound, it's allowing us to kind of clear out the channels. And the thing like with the gong that's really beautiful, where like you have these different chakra based sounds, the gong is filling in everything. It's like the sound of everything. It's every chakra. It's everything. It's light and dark. It's deep. It's primal. It's such a primal sound. And I think it does have the ability to shift and move things. I mean, I always felt, every time I played the gong, and even now when I play the gong, it's like there's a feeling that I have when I start hearing that sound. It's that it opens up a portal or something. There's a portal of energy that's opening up, and to be on the receiving end of it is, it's a mystery to know what really is going on fully, but it definitely is when it comes to like music or sound in these ways, I think it does have the ability to, to really get us into a channeling inside of ourselves and stuff. And that's what it's really designed to do. I mean, it's something, it's just, to me, it would just seemed like such a primal instrument to use. And it's one of the most, I think, the most shamanic instrument out there. I mean, it's just so, it really connects you into that sense of source,
Well, you had mentioned that your TV broke the day you brought that gong in. Yeah. So that made me think like, okay, that completely validates what happened when I got my gong.
Totally. It's completely valid. I think these gongs and these instruments are, there's like spirits inside of these instruments. You know, there's something there that's trying to come through. And, you know, it was so funny when I got into this stuff years ago, I was like, I was remember saying, like, when I first got into this stuff, I was like, oh my God, if everybody just started doing this, the world would be better.
Yeah.
You know, the world would just, it would just get more peaceful. And it's amazing to see it like 16 years later and see everybody doing it now. And everyone's like wanting to be a sound healer and get it out there. And it's like, it's happening. It's finally happening. It's like where yoga was back in the 80s, you know, it wasn't really happening. And now it's like, and I think like we're just at the beginning of this sound healing movement. And yeah, it's great. I mean, I'm grateful to be, you know, to have tapped into it when I did and have the times I've had doing it. It's been great. But I'm really happy to see other people doing it. And, you know, we just started doing teaching class, you know, teaching people how to do these sound baths, which has been great. Things like that, just getting more people doing it. And that's the thing too, is finding like, you know, the right kind of people. If you start getting into this stuff, it's always important to find the right kind of people to teach you this stuff, because
yeah,
there are a lot of people out there capitalizing off this new wave here.
Yeah.
And it's important to like, know that like, you know, go to that person's sound bath and experience their sound bath before you take a training course with someone, so you know that what you're being taught is actually really good.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, because when you said, you know, that I feel the same way, I feel like about yoga, and I feel now about sound and breath, right? But when I first started teaching yoga, I was like, oh my God, if it was like mandatory that everybody had to sit for 5 minutes, do 9 sun salutations and like go upside down somehow, even if it's just feet above their head before they went out into the world, the whole world would change. I still wish that that was a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way about sound, and I feel the same way about breath work. And I do feel like it is becoming a thing. And I do agree with you 100% about how things then become pushed into the capitalistic society, that gets pushed into like something that's trendy, and we make it trendy. And there's a part of me that is, it comes from the cloth of, well, at least it's getting out there. And then there's
yeah.
a side of me that's like, let's make sure we do the right thing, people, you know? So I think I would love just like, if you could give people advice on, because I say the same thing about teacher training. I had someone say to me, how come I have to pay $2,000 for your training and this one online is only $200? And I'm like, well, it's the value, you know, and I find deep value in seeing that teacher that you're going to learn from. I agree with you 100%. Because there's a transmission of energy, there's a sharing of energy in that. So I would love to hear from you, kind of, if you were to give somebody advice or insight on taking a sound healing training, you know, or even embarking on this without getting caught up in the hoopla, what would you say to them?
Well, like I mentioned, I mean, I would definitely make sure that when you go, like, go explore different people's sound baths, and because there are different kinds out there. And like, I've had people come up to me and they were like, this guy came to an event last week that I did, and he was like, yeah, you made sound baths enjoyable for me again, because people have gone, he's like, I've gone to some where, you know, a lot of people will purchase, like, and there's people teaching people out there, like, they're just like, they want to just sell you a bunch of bowls and they want to just send you off on your way. And the thing about it is that, you know, when you have like, if you buy a bunch of bowls that are all small, I mean, it's all high frequency sound nonstop. And you have people that will go in and like play those crystal bowls, like, you know, singing these bowls for, and people are like, it's almost having the complete opposite effect of what you think it's doing. And so it's just being able to, and I also feel like for people that get into this stuff, there is a simplicity about like being able to hit a gong and learning how to sing a bowl, but there's also, having some knowledge around like music on some level and knowing how music works and getting a little bit of like understanding about that, because anybody can hit a gong, anybody can play a bowl and can sing a bowl, but to play a bowl and to play a gong are two different things. So it's important that, you know, go to different sound baths, see which ones, you know, you resonate with. And if someone is doing a teaching, for sure, make sure you experience their sound bath and know that like, where you're, what you're getting is going to be what you want to put out in the world, because there are just a lot of people capitalizing off it, unfortunately. And so, yeah, just, you know, I would definitely just explore, look around, see what's there. And yeah, and just, yeah, whatever resonates with you, you know, and it's not for me to say, you know, who's, when, whatever, but it's, I think that because this is such a universal modality, just whatever resonates with you and how you can kind of interpret your own. I mean, for me personally, like, I'll be honest, like, I made this whole thing up. You know, I made it all up. I bought these bowls and I kept like finding other instruments. I was like, oh, this instrument would work. I'll buy this one too. Oh, I'll get this little instrument. And before you know it, I have this whole ensemble of instruments. And I'm like, okay, let's put a bunch of people in a room and see what this thing does, you know? And mm-hmm. I kept learning and doing it. And the one thing I'll tell people, the one thing you should know about any sound bath training or any of this stuff, no matter what, the instruments are the greatest teachers. The instruments themselves, the more you spend time with the instruments, the more you share this with friends and family and laying people down. And it's almost like the instruments show you exactly what you should do. It's kind of funny that they're, I mean, yeah, it's just, it's like, there's just this thing where it, there's an intuitive process that happens with these instruments. And when you work with people on a one-on-one level, or even just a couple friends that you're sharing it with, you know, you're playing these instruments and you're watching their bodies and you're watching how they're relaxing. And when you start to kind of do it more and more, you start to kind of intuitively pick up the, what you're doing. And then the practice of like deep listening. And this is a big one for people. I think when it comes to training courses and things like this, it's like it's one thing to say like, hey, I'm listening. And it's like me and Simona used to get into this all the time. We used to work together and I used to try to get her to kind of understand the instruments more. I'd be like, Simona, you're not really listening. And she'd be like, I am listening. And I'm like, I know you're listening, but you're not listening. It's like, there's so much more to listen to. And eventually she got it. She was like, oh my God. Like, and it's such a hard thing to describe to people, but that's a big part is, cause it is, it's the art of listening. It's the art of, I mean, when you're a sound bath facilitator, you're almost like you're like a ninja. You kind of have to be like, there's certain things you have to do that are like quiet and, you have to be really calculated with what you're doing and all those things. So, you know, bless you. And it's just, yeah, it's just like, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, I mean, it's just the more you keep sharing it and the more you keep giving it to people and sharing it with people, the more you will learn just how these instruments work. And you kind of come up with your own sort of play with it. But it's good to know, like, the whole point of it is trying to get people to relax and calm down. So if you're not a good listener and you're playing these instruments and playing all these bowls and jumping from one instrument to the next, you got to be thinking about, is this enjoyable for the person receiving this? And that's a big one for people, because I think as facilitators, people get caught up in like wanting to fill in all the space, and what we're actually trying to do is create space. So it's a dance, you know. It's but yeah, I just like wanted to just reiterate that the most is that the instruments are the greatest teachers. There are people that can show you techniques and show you how to transition. Like in our classes, we teach people how to transition from one instrument to another. That stuff's important. How to hold down a sound bath, how to like hold space, all that. So that's all important to do. But yeah, the more you share it and give it selflessly and just passionately wanting to do it, I think they will eventually show you the way, mm-hmm. you know?
Oh, I could listen to you all day. I have, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I do have an important question for you.
Sure.
I had no idea that you were doing breath work and sound healing. Mm-hmm. And I do that here. And I, again, by the way, do you remember Manush? He used to go to all of the festivals and he always sold the deities. He always had the big deity tent. Do you remember?
Yes. Yes. At like Bhakti Fest and stuff.
Yeah. I just love him. And him and I would do goddess workshops together. He would come in for my teacher trainings and talk about all the deities. And one time in one of his talks, he goes, you know, I asked him like this really profound question. And because I just look at him like he has so much information in his pinky finger. And I asked him this really profound question. And he just sat there for a second. And he goes, you know, Dana, it's just MSU. And I said, MSU? He said, I just make shit up.
Yeah.
I love that, because really what we're doing in the making shit up is we're listening. We're listening to spirit. We're not really just making it up. We're allowing that energy to come through, and that comes through in everything that we're doing. And so I am so grateful for what you shared, because it makes me feel like I'm on the right path. Honestly, I just started buying instruments. You know what? Now I think I need this. And I need the rattle. That's what I need. I need the rattle, and I need the shaman's drum, and I need the things. And it's not to accumulate. It's more like like you said, when I had just the crystal bowls, I felt like it would leave people way up too airy. Like I felt like I needed something like a gong or a drum to like kind of ground them back in. So you just confirmed so much for me, which I'm very
right on.
But the breath work and the sound healing, like you have been doing this, and I had no idea, which I'm a little embarrassed about. But I had no idea, and you've been doing it for, you said, I think 7 or 8 years. So tell me, please, why? Because I don't know why it works, but I know that when I practice breath work, active pranayama, I listen to sound healing, I feel like I went to another planet, and I feel like I went on a journey, like a shaman, all by myself. So
totally.
Tell me why, like, again, thank you for validating that I'm on the right path, but you've been doing this for 7 or 8 years. Tell me why you think those two work well together.
You know, I think it's, it was funny. I experienced the breath work, about 8 years ago, roughly. I was at Bhakti Fest, and I was with Michael Brian Baker, who did the breath work. And he said to me, he's like, "Hey, bring your gong down, you know, come bring your gong down, you know, if you want to, you know, collaborate." And I was like, "Cool." I go down there with the gong, and he's like, "Hey, man, if you want to experience it, lay down and check it out." And we're sitting around in a circle, and we were doing our intentions in the beginning, and it was really beautiful. There was a woman in the group that was like an older woman, probably in her late 70s, maybe early 80s. And we were talking our intentions. And one of the intentions she had was, she was saying, I haven't loved myself, and I want to. And she was so authentic and real about it. And then when she went back and laid down, and I started doing this breath work, I'm breathing and I'm doing this breath work, and I'm trying this new thing I've never done before. And all of a sudden I hear this woman start to kind of cry a little bit. I can hear her tears coming. And for me, like kind of being an empath, I'm like, I start feeling for her, and I start having moments where I'm crying. And the next thing you know, like halfway through, I'm realizing, I'm like, I'm not crying for her. I'm crying for myself. And I'm like having this, like the peeling of an onion, just layers pouring off of me. And I realized, oh my God, this is some of the most potent medicine. This breath work is so, I had no idea the breath could do this to you, where it would just activate so much energy to have this sort of cathartic experience just with the breath, because it was like the breath was the medicine. You know, a lot of times you take medicine, or whether it's like plant medicine, this and that. But with this, it was just the breath. It was like, you don't need any medicine. This is it. And so anyway, I had that experience, and I worked with Michael for a little while, a short time. And then eventually I just was like, you know, I'm going to start doing this. And I started sharing it and combining the breath work and the sound bath together. And the reason I think they work so well together is because with the breath work, you're basically like, I tell people in my class, when I open up the class, I say, you know, we're kind of all climbing this mountain together, and we're kind of huffing our way to the top of this mountain. And you get to the top and you release everything. You just let everything go. And then you fall back into this bath of sound, which is, so it's like this, you have this like cathartic and intense sort of experience. And then you have this big release, where I have everyone do this big primal scream, and I hit the gong over the scream, because the function of the gong is to clear. So as that happens, I'm like, what happens essentially is that they have that cathartic release, and then to have the sound bath, this restorative, almost like a forced meditation experience, kind of, you know, it's like pushing it in. So, cause the sounds do that. And it was like those two things together just seemed to work like magic. And I used to do groups where it was like, when I first started, I had like, I mean, it was amazing. I had like 30, 40 people coming when I first started doing it. And then the potency of the experience, people would catch on. And before you knew it, I had, for like the last 2 years I was doing it, I was having 100 people coming every week. and just want, and it was like watching all these souls come in. They'd like come in, they'd have this major release experience, they'd all leave, they would go tell all their friends about it, their friends would show up the next week, they'd tell all their friends, and this thing just kind of kept moving. And it felt like it was like, it almost seemed like it was like a washing station for the soul. It was like they come in and they sort of, you know, and I guide them kind of through the experience. I talk about things that are very neutral in our lives, what we all go through, whether it's relationships or self-love or forgiveness, all these different things I touch on, very neutral stuff. But it just ends up being where, you know, giving some sort of guidance into like particular directions of like certain things to breathe for, not just our intention, but kind of guiding it in a way where these different things can come up. And it ends up being where, yeah, it's just like total magic. It's like, it just, to me, it just seemed like those two modalities just worked so well together. There's just something about it. And I was like, that's it. I'm the breathwork sound bath. That's it. And that's kind of, and I've just been sort of, I've been kind of doing it for, and it's been like 8 years, and, it's my favorite thing to do, to be honest with you. Out of all the things I do, I think that is the most beneficial for people and the most potent. And it's so needed in the world today because so many people are pent up and they don't know how to release and let go. And I've had people come to my event, to my breathwork class, and they're like, you know, I've been in 5 years of therapy and I got more out of tonight than I've gotten out of like the last 5 years of therapy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
I agree with that statement so much. And I explain it to people because, again, I'm just making shit up, you know. I explain it to people. I say I feel like the breath work and then having the bowls after the breath work is, it's like knitting. I envision it as like knitting all of those frayed nerves in the nervous system. That's just what I feel. I feel like the sound, the vibration just goes in and it just calms the nervous system after we've released so much, right? Maybe there's like a hole or there's like this nerve that was touched while we were in the breath work and we were crying or we were feeling that sense of anger. Or maybe there's a certain part of the body that was feeling pain. You know, so many people say, wow, I've had this pain in my neck or my knee or whatever, and I could feel the pain go away in the breath work. And then I envision that sound just kind of going in and like healing everything, like truly sound healing.
Yeah.
And I know that there's like, I've read a couple of articles about the science behind sound healing. And I think it's of value for those individuals who absolutely have to have a scientific explanation. But I cut from the cloth of like, I don't need a scientific explanation. I can feel it in my bones. This is what's happening. And I'm just going to go with it, you know?
Yeah. It's very experiential. It's just, I used to want to call it the experience because it's like, it's different for everybody. And you can't really, it's different for everyone, but like, we're all kind of connected together in our life and what we deal with in life. And we all have these different struggles where we all have to like, find forgiveness in things. We all have to like, you know, heal our inner child. There's different things like this. So it's like, you know, guiding people through that journey and having that experience. Just, there's just something that happens where once again, it's spirit work. It's just tapping us into spirit and tapping us into ourselves. And right now, especially after the pandemic and everything, it's like, and after like what we're all, people are going through today, it's like so needed more than anything.
Yeah.
And, just like I said, it's I feel like the breathwork sound bath in a lot of ways is like, I feel the greatest work that I do, in what I do, you know, and just so beneficial for people. And, you know, I've been on a mission to get people to cry for the last 8 years.
Oh, well, I'm just so grateful to know you. And I'm just so excited to see what comes up next, you know, for you, for this planet. I just feel like I have access to so many amazing people. And I'm grateful that you took the time with me today. I do want to say a couple things. I will put in the write-up of the podcast. And when I post this, I'll put the different ways you can get a hold of Guy Douglas. I will say that There are some trainings coming up, and I will post those dates as soon as they are
Thanks
available.
for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm just so grateful to you. Thank you so much.
Same to you.
All right, honey, talk soon.
Talk soon. See ya.